Alrighty, so continuing our theme, let's go ahead and lay down on your back. Get comfortable. And see how you are tonight. What is the condition of your shoulders? Focusing again on head, neck, shoulders as a theme. Feel the shoulders. Can you feel the shoulder blades? We're going to do a lot of focus on the blades tonight as well as on the sternum, the breastbone. So feel your shoulder blades. And then feel what's above the shoulder blades. What sits on the shoulder blades is something that we call the rib cage. It's a terrible name because it's a malleable thing. So instead of thinking birdcage like wire, I want you to think of your ribs wrapping all the way around from the back, from the spine, all the way to the front to the sternum. All of the ribs wrap from sternum to the spine, except for the last two. They're called floating. They don't quite join up to the sternum. But I want you to think of it like a water balloon. So you know how a water balloon, you can press it and distend it and distort it. The shape can change. Well, internally, as you breathe, your shape of your rib cage changes, as does the shape of your abdomen. The abdomen is easier to change the shape because it's distensible. We don't have a bone in front. We have a soft belly. However, the rib cage in the front is largely cartilaginous, meaning the sternum and the ribs join with a whole bunch of cartilage. And cartilage is inherently bendable. So we do have some distensibility in the rib cage, quite a bit, actually. The ribs themselves move. They hinge on the spine. So they can distend and change shape. So if you know anatomy, you may have a certain preconceived notion of how the rib cage moves, how the chest moves, how the sides of you move. But I want you to suspend any anatomical knowledge that you have tonight and just go into feeling and let all modes of shape be possible. Because when you're doing a movement, you may find that you feel like a shape that logically you know doesn't correspond anatomically, and you think that can't be possible, and yet that's your experience. So you go by experience. So feel the change in shape as you breathe of your whole torso. We can check out ourselves on an internal way, which is as the air goes in, it changes your shape. Does it go into a space very easily? If air were water and it pours in, where would it be pouring? Like a river would divert to the easiest course, path of least resistance. So where in you as you breathe do you feel that air spilling into? The area, one could say, where you're very distensible. You're very easy to change shape there. You have space there already. It just goes right there. Can you feel that place in yourself? And then look for the opposing place, in a way opposing, but where in you does it feel stiff and like a big rock is blocking the river? In other words, there's very little change in shape there. It's almost held. Whether it be structurally or whether it be neurologically with your brain firing off muscles in a tense way, there's a place maybe where it's held. Can you compare those two places and locate them for yourself? Good. Now I'm going to have you all roll over onto your right side, noticing that when you take you like a water balloon and you roll yourself over on your right side, your internal shape is going to change. And if you need a pillow, just roll up your mat and make a little pillow for yourself. If it's rough on your neck, certainly get a pillow. There may be some stuff in the room, foams or whatever, that you can get for yourself if you need that. So here you are on your right side, and there's certain constraints on your right side as you breathe, for sure. Namely, the floor will block the right side from expanding. So inherently, as you breathe lying on your right side, you are physiologically going to have more ability to distend the upper side, which would be your left side. So can you just feel that? It's like if you took a perfectly round balloon and set it, it's filled with water, and you set it on the table side would flatten out, right? And if you squished it, the upper side would bulge out much more than the bottom side because the table is a limiting factor. So just feel your support on the floor on the right side. And feel the shape. And imagine in your mind the shape inside yourself. Okay, stack your knees one on top of each other. So you have your knees fairly drawn up, you know, just so that you're stable. Something easy. And can you begin taking the top leg and sliding it forward so that you lengthen the top knee forward a little bit, and then you slide it back so that your knee is stacked on the other knee. So you don't have to change your foot at all. If you just roll your hip forward, it'll slide all by itself and the foot can be quiet. So keep your knees bent. Keep your knees bent. Stack them. Leave your feet quiet. And think about just pushing your belly and your hip forward. And then bring it back. That's all the movement is. So it's like almost like a cricket would rub its wings. You're going to feel your top thigh, which is your left thigh, rubbing on your bottom thigh. And then roll it back. Imagine yourself like a water balloon. And someone were kind of smooshing you in a way that could distend you this way. And the top leg could slide forward a little bit. It's a lengthening idea of the top knee. And it's just a smidgen for some. It doesn't have to be a very big movement. But you know that you've moved because the knees are no longer stacked exactly one on top of the other. And then you move them back and you take a pause. As you do this, you probably feel that you do something in your hip and your pelvis and your belly to generate this movement. Maybe the low back. That's sort of level one awareness, you know? Yeah, you can feel those things. But I want you to take it up even further, more into your breastbone. What happens in the chest and the breastbone as you do this? It may be an echo, but I want you to think of all of yourself. And what do you do with the breath? Does it staccato? Do you need more rest in between each movement to catch your breath, to pause? If I said you're going to continue this movement for an hour, are you doing it with the quality that you'd be like so happy to continue it? Or would you say, oh no, I couldn't do this for very long? So remedy the quality so that you get it, so that it's pleasurable for yourself. Even if that means you pause more or you do less. Good. Rest for a moment. Does anyone feel when they rest that their jaw relaxes? Or all of a sudden their breath relaxes, or their shoulders relax, or your collarbones relax? If that's the case, then you are doing the movement with parasitic tension. So we're going to go back to the movement. See if you can do it in a way that your jaw stays released, that your shoulders stay calm, that your chest stays free and receives an echo. Go back to the movement and continue to monitor yourself every single movement and see if you can refine it. Feldenkrais is all about refining, not about the amount of repetition you do. Can you track your sternum, your breastbone? Can you track the change in shape of your rib cage and your belly and your back? Okay, enough of that. Roll over onto your back and rest on your back. Feel yourself from the inside. Go back on your right side. Good. Now, take the top knee, which is your left knee, and shorten it a bit. So you roll yourself backwards a little bit, and it shortens the leg. And then you stack the top knee back on the knee. So that's the movement. It's not a very big one, but it's actually a really important one. You bring the hip back. You bring your back back. It's a highly important movement, even though it's small. So feel yourself bringing the knee back. And then it goes a little forward to stack. And then maybe you can bring the knee a little bit forward beyond the stacking place. Do the first movement we did. Bring it beyond neutral and let it go back. So we're going to go back and forth. Lengthening, shortening, to and fro, breath, distension, change in shape, tracking yourself. Smaller sometimes is better. Can you feel your torso from the inside as you do this movement? Whether you track it through breath, through imagery, through whatever means, feel chest, belly, back, sternum, pelvis, and everything that's in there, too, all the organs, whatever you track, your torso. Good. Next time you bring your pelvis back, let it roll you onto your back and just sort of spill over onto your back. A rest on your back. In the most nicest way, just gently, gently, until you get on your back. By the way, when you get onto your back, you're not always symmetrical. And it's okay in this lesson, you don't always have to kind of shuffle back to symmetry. If you end up spilling back on your back and you're kind of like your head's one way or your one leg's way out, that's okay. You don't have to correct that to symmetry. Gently take yourself, roll yourself back onto the right side. Stack your knees so you're stable, where it's comfortable for you. Extend your arms at shoulder height. So if they were sticking straight out from your body, they're at shoulder height, and the hands are going to be one palm on the other palm. So let them rest, and let's just see if you know shoulder height. So the way we know shoulder height is we go off of shoulder height. So can you put your hands at belly button height? And then can you put your hands at nose level height? And somewhere in between nose level height and belly button height are is shoulder height. So once you have shoulder height, just adjust to it. Say, that's where I think I need to be. Get comfortable, especially with the bottom shoulder. Get comfortable. Now take the top hand, which is our left hand, and you're going to move it forward, caressing the palm forward. So you'll probably touch the floor a little bit. And then you're going to slide your arm back to palm to palm. You'll find that your shoulder blade will move, but more than your shoulder blade will move. Certainly the shoulder blade slides along the rib cage, certainly. But then there's the whole water balloon image underneath all that. And please encourage changing shape in the head, the neck, the torso, the pelvis. Let everything serve this idea of caressing the hand forwards. Feel it. Doesn't mean to do more, just means to be aware of more. As soon as your jaw tenses up, something's disorganized. So it may mean you need to shift. It may mean you need more pillow. It may mean that you're going beyond your place of organization. You feel any crimp in your neck, anything in your jaw, any catch in your breathing, you're at the edge. You're past the edge, actually, at that point. So Moshe's idea was like, don't ever go past that edge because we're trying to get your system to organize. So notice it and go less than that, or do something different so that you don't feel that anymore. Continue to organize. We don't want to reinforce sort of bad behavior, right? It's self-limiting. It doesn't get you anywhere. You want to organize, refine, refine. Good rest, and just bend your elbows in and continue resting on your side. Is there something you need to do now, being on your side, to make yourself just a little bit more comfortable? More pillow, maybe. Shifting the shoulder, shifting the hips. Okay, extend your arms at shoulder height again. Now, you're going to start taking the top arm, which is the left arm, a little back towards yourself. Please don't bend the elbow, though. Because if you bend the elbow, it's about a different movement. So if you don't bend the elbow, you'll feel your shoulder blade has to do something, and the chest has to do something, and the whole water balloon idea has to do something, and maybe the head needs to do something. So go back and forth to where you're stacked on the hands and then sliding it back or shortening the top arm, one could say. It pulls more into you, into your center. And then you can extend it, go past the palm-to-palm place and extend it and lengthen it away from yourself. And then slide it more towards yourself or shorten it. One could say shorten and lengthen. Or pulling in towards oneself or extending out. Doesn't really matter, the wording. Do you move your belly as you do this? Do you change shape? What happens to the low back? If you were a water balloon, what would be happening to your shape as you do this movement? Can you really hallucinate a good one, right? If you really were a water balloon, right, and someone were, you know, this was happening, right, and you slid an arm forward and slid an arm back, what's happening in the shape inside? Is it puckering somewhere, bulging somewhere, sloshing somewhere? Is the belly changing? Is the top knee moving at all? Is it necessary to move it? Is it nicer if you move it? Okay, the next time you pull your arm back, just let that roll you onto your back and spill back over onto your back in a gentle, nice fashion. Take a rest. Resting anytime you need to rest. You need to roll out of the position sooner you do it. Notice your breathing. When we do anything with increased awareness, it cohesizes us into more wholeness. Anything. Whether it be sport, whether it be intimate connection through talking with someone, anything that we do with awareness and in an organized fashion cohesizes us more into wholeness. Roll back onto that right side. Extend the arms again at shoulder height. Bend your knees so you're stable. Open your eyes. And take that top arm, which is your left arm, straight, relatively straight as it is, and you're going to separate it from the bottom arm, and you're going to let it go up towards the ceiling, following it with your eyes. If you follow it with your eyes, your head will roll, and your sternum will change orientation. And then bring it back down, escort it with your eyes, till it goes palm to palm again. That's lovely. Once it's palm to palm, please make a full relaxation before you do another movement. If your sternum or your breastbone had an eyeball on it, the eyes looking straight ahead, right, towards your fingers when you're in your resting position, when your arm is up at the ceiling, see if you can get your sternum to look also to the ceiling, as if your sternum could turn, which indeed it can. Remember, it's not a birdcage. It's not wire. It's distensible. A balloon can twist and change its placement, right? So think of yourself like that. Lovely. Next time you're down palm to palm, please just rest and bend your elbows in and take a moment to just rest. Notice when you're resting if you are feeling a lot of relaxation. And if you are, you feel, oh, all of a sudden I just took a breath, or oh, all of a sudden my forehead stopped grimacing, or oh, wow, all of a sudden my thighs relaxed. You may want to check in and go, maybe I'm using too much effort, too much white noise going on. So do less, slower, to pick up the information. The next time you do this movement, I want you to think of a clock. So let's just arbitrarily put 12 o'clock to the ceiling. If we made a full clock, like, I don't know, 9 o'clock might be all the way to the floor. So could you just do like a little more each time? So you're going to raise to the ceiling for your first one and then go all the way down palm to palm and then just go a smidgen more the next time. And I want you to track something. There will be a moment where you get to a smidgen more and you feel that that top leg, the knee, has to slide and or pick up. And I want you to know where on this little clock that happens. You're going to allow it to happen, but I want you to notice when it happens. Yes, letting your shape change, 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 change. Following the hand with your eyes all the time. That means your head's going to roll, right? You're looking at the hand. You can get a really nice opening of the chest. This is so nice for muscular-wise, the pecs. You know, you go, ah, oh, some people just love this stretch. Good. Okay, rest everyone. Rest again on your side. That's so nice. practice this movement. Your feet are stacked one on top of the other. There is a place where your top knee is going to slide. You can also let the top knee pick up. So could you think of like a butterfly opening its wings? Can you just lift the top knee up a little bit, like open like a door, and then shut the top knee a little bit? And then open like a door, and then shut it. That's the idea. So you'll find that that brings the bottom of your foot, the left foot, is going towards standing on the floor, right? In fact, you could even do that. If you slide your foot off, you can actually stand the foot on the floor and open your knees apart from each other even more. That's lovely. Okay, so be on your side again. When you feel the moment where that top knee needs to do that, can you let it lift? And that's going to let your hand go all the way back to the floor. Okay, so everybody, you're raising your arm up to the ceiling, slowly, slowly, slowly. You're feeling the timing. It's not right away. You go to that place where you go, now's the time for that knee to lift. And as that knee lifts and my foot stands on the floor, lo and behold, I can get the arm all the way to the floor. Does everyone feel that? Go all the way to the floor. And you should have your top knee lifted. Your left knee is lifted. Let your arm be all the way to the floor and just stay there. Just stay there. Okay. Now let's play possum for a moment. Let's play that the top arm can't move. It has no muscular strength. And we are going to lift it off the floor maybe an inch or two by taking the top knee and shutting it back on the bottom knee. And that's going to seesaw the arm up a smidgen. And then you're going to open the knee and let the arm go back down. Okay, so we're playing possum with the arm. Does that make sense? So your arm's on the floor. Okay, and you're doing it all through your pelvis, right? So this is coming and you're bringing your pelvis forward and that's going to lift it a little bit. And then you're going to open the knee, and the arm's going to go back down. That's the movement, like a little seesaw. Yeah. You do something powerful in the pelvis. You lengthen that knee forward until it stops onto the other knee. It's not just a question of letting it flop like a butterfly wing. You have to do a kind of a forceful movement in the pelvis. That makes sense? In order to leverage the arm up. Okay, rest for a moment. Go all the way on your back and give it up, and then I'll show someone the idea. I'll use a demo. But most of you are getting a good idea of it. It's a really interesting phenomena to use yourself in a way, actively all by yourself, in a way that a practitioner giving you a functional integration would move you. When you get functional integration, a lot of what's happening is that you are passive and the practitioner is manipulating you, so to speak, or facilitating movement, but they're actually making the force of the movement and you are passive. The passivity of it says, I'm not efforting and interfering and I've got a shot at feeling what's possible. So that's why we do it, not to make the practitioner sort of like the person who's in charge necessarily. But when you are passive, you're not going to be as susceptible to interfering and you get cleaner information. This last movement, in a way, makes some of you passive. And you're using the pelvis and the hip as the active part, i.e. the pelvis and the hip would be like the practitioner so that you can reorganize your chest. So let's just all look at, can we look at you, Liat? So come around and we'll look at Liat do this movement. Lavinia. Oh my goodness. I know that. Go ahead on your side. I'm so sorry. How long have you guys been in my class? And I should know that. So here she goes. You can just watch. She goes with her arm. She keeps this quiet for as long as possible. And when it needs, so she's to the ceiling, and then it's starting to move, and she's letting it slide a little bit. I'm talking about her knee. And then eventually she brings the knee up, and boom, the hand's on the floor, and everybody's relaxed right now. Sure. It's like your midway point. Now here, she takes her arm, and she's very quiet with it. And then there's a powerful movement, not just flopping the knee, but doing something with the pelvis to Sisa. So right here, she shuts the knee, but then she's got to do something right there to elevate it. Now she hangs. Hang. Let the arm hang. Hang. Don't do anything. Good. Now open that back up. And then the arm goes to the floor. She hangs the arm. Passive, passive, passive. She's just doing something right from her pelvis and leg and hip and belly. Right there. Right there. And she hangs. And then she opens. That's what you want to do. You want to just let that all be completely passive and power it from here. It's a little bit of extension in the back. It will feel like a little bit of arching your back. You all want to try it one more time? Go on your right side. And by the way, if this hurts your back in any way, shape, or form, flag me over. I'll give you something to do that will modify it. That's it. But leave your arm quiet. Leave your arm hanging.
Hanging.
Yeah. So there it's on the floor, right? That's your midway point. And you do something with your knee and something here. Right there. Hang the arm. Hang it. Don't do anything. That's it. Notice how it's lifted? And you're on a big stretch. Open the knee again. Now there's your midway point. Huh? And then you, something there. Ah, too much? Too much. Just do a little bit. It's a big stretch. It's a big rotational stretch. Is everyone's back okay with it? That's really good. And then the next time the arm raises up in the air, kick in with the arm and let the arm arc all the way over. Start powering the arm. No longer passive. Once it's done its possum thing and it's raised up with your knee, then bring your arm all the way over. Okay? Yes. So you're doing great.
Is it supposed to have to move because it doesn't, I mean, is it?
It will eventually. Yeah. Because if you start to bring your pelvis here, then you'll come. That's it. Good. Wonderful. Good. Roll onto your back. And take a rest.
On our back?
Yeah, on your back. So, that change in shape when you did that little seesaw, certainly the torso's changing shape there. Right? The rib cage is distended. It's not in the same position it is right now on your back. It'll affect your breath and use of yourself. See if you can feel the after effects of that. Hopefully they're positive after effects. If there any time they're negative after effects, it's usually just because you strained too much or something's a little bit off. And I'm happy to help you with that, if need be. But it is possible to use yourself poorly in a lesson. I've done it many a time. We try and avoid it. What leg feels longer? What leg feels more underneath yourself? Like if you had to choose a leg you'd hop on, it'd be your hopper. Uh-huh. Not everyone says the right, though. Some people may have a different situation. Maybe the left. What part of your torso feels longer? If you measure sort of armpit to hip, is there a change right to left side? Does one side feel elongated? Some have the left, some have the right. And check in with that. You're biased right now, which is why we're doing a scan. You're biased, so you have information to pay attention to. We started out the lesson by feeling like if air were liquid, there's a certain places where it just goes easily, where it's spacious. So feel now where in your torso, the whole torso, can even be in your abdomen, does air go easily? Where is there more space, more room to receive? Where's the container easier? And has that changed or expanded for yourself? Now we're going to roll over onto the left side. Stack your knees so you're comfortable. Get enough support under your head I recommend sometimes that you bring like an extra towel, maybe like a thick bath towel or a beach towel or something, because sometimes you need just a little support under your head. Sometimes it's best to roll your mat up and just do the lesson on the floor and support the head. Okay, so feel the contact on the floor with that left side. Feel the ribs. Feel as if you are a water balloon resting on a surface. Feel the difference in the belly. And that's probably the most distensible part of us because it's soft. So as you lay on your side, what happens to the belly? Does it spill out? Does it spill out in a round way or is it oblong? You know, how does it go there? Just like the belly can change shape, so can the rib cage. So hallucinate it if you don't feel it, but it's not symmetrical now. Your left side is being blocked by the floor and your right side is more open. The right side is going to be easier to distend with breathing than the left side. This is the reason in hospital, if someone is in intensive care or just really not moving around, they'll have a Q2-hour shift. So in other words, the nurses or support care, whoever, will say, oh, they're 2 hours on their left side, 2 hours on their right side, 2 hours on their left side, 2 hours on the right side, maybe a little bit on their back. It's to prevent skin sores and breakdown, but it's also to prevent pneumonia because it aerates the lungs differently and the distensibility of the ribcage changes and the blood to the lungs changes every time you change direction. Okay, let's begin with the top leg. That's your right leg. Let the knee slide away from you, lengthen it. And then stack the knee on top. Simple movement of forward with the knee. Let the foot stay quiet. It may move a little, but it's really not about separating the feet. It's about doing something with the belly and the waist and the pelvis. Go a little forward, go a little backward. So it becomes a little bit like rolling, but with a little bit extra in it. It's not quite just rolling because you're thinking of the top knee lengthening away and pulling back or shortening into yourself too. So there's some hip thing that goes on too, which might not necessarily go on if you were just rolling. But there is a rolling component. And like anything you know, if it's soft and distensible and you roll it, it's not going to stay the same shape. Unless it's firm like a sausage, it might. But we're not firm like a sausage. We have 26 movable vertebrae. We're full of movement and twist and flexion and extension and side bend and all that. We're full of movement. So it's going to change as you go forward and back. Maybe you feel the quality of your low back changing. Let's look at that as an idea. When does your low back move back and get wide? And when does your low back move forward and get arched? As you move your knee a little to and fro, forward and back, track your low back, your lumbar. And put that into your attention as a space that relates to breathing. Movement in the low back relates to movement in the sternum. Your jaw, how are you? Give it all up, rest on your back. Anytime, resting, anytime. Is your contact changing a bit? Do you feel more of yourself or more clearly? Even if you can't put words to it. That was a thing with me. I'll mention this because it's kind of interesting. It took me a long time in my Feldenkrais training to get this, and thank goodness I got it. No one really taught it to me. But I used to think that if it were clear, I could put words to it. And that if I couldn't put words to it, it must not be clear. Because a lot of these sensations are new sensations, and you have no words for them. Because it's a brand new experience. I don't know, I feel kind of like, and there's really no words for it. Doesn't mean that in your system it's not clear. Felt movement sense can be beyond words. In fact, the words can inhibit it. So it's beyond anatomy, beyond logical thinking, beyond words. It's just noticing what is. It's being present and just being. And you're absorbing it, whether you can articulate it or not. And it can be clear, even if you can't articulate it. Let's go back onto that left side. Yeah, left side. Yeah, there you go. Extend your arms now at shoulder height. If you're not sure that it's shoulder height, make it go to belly button height. Make it go to nose height. You know, fool around a little bit, like with focus in a way. You go a little out of focus, a little in focus, a little out of focus, a little in focus till you bullseye. Okay, that's where I feel shoulder height is. And then get that bottom side a little comfortable. That left side that you're laying on. Sometimes if you put the shoulders at shoulder height, people do all sorts of funny things with that bottom shoulder. So make sure it's comfortable. That's the bottom line always, is are you comfortable with the movement? Open the palms. Start taking the top palm, which is your right hand, and sliding it forward, away from yourself, caressing forward, lengthening. And then go back palm to palm. Just do portion of the movement where you're palm to palm, and then you're caressing forward. Feel what happens to the orientation of your face. Orientation is just a fancy word for the direction of your face. Does the direction of your face change? If your face were one big flashlight, would the beam of the flashlight be changing angle? Up, down, rolling, whatever. It's not always necessarily a symmetrical roll. Maybe you tuck your chin a little bit. Maybe you thrust your chin. I don't know what you do. But see what you do with your face as you caress forward. And by the way, your face is attached to your head. So when the face changes, so does the head. The whole skull changes. The ears change. Start sliding the arm back a little bit, caressing back, keeping the elbow more or less straight, letting the shoulder blade slide. So go forward and back. Don't bend the elbow though, because then it'll be a different movement. It's not really about bending the elbow. I want you to be moving the water balloon. And if you bend the elbow, it's only arm, arm, arm. So we want arm plus a few things. Yeah, you feel how that shoulder blade kind of goes back a little bit, and then the shoulder blade goes forward a little bit. And of course, a lot of other things are moving, but that shoulder blade can release, release, release. If you want to, why not, right? Boom. Does that feel good? Yeah. How long is your arm? Sometimes we think of our arm just like beginning from like the shoulder joint down, but you know what? You start to move the water balloon, the arm gets really long. So the arm can be as long as your whole torso. It can be long as all the way down to your foot, depending on how you organize yourself. Good. Would you rest if you need to and roll on your back? Gently spilling it over, taking your time, making it pleasant for yourself, resting. So, about a couple months ago, a group of us went down to Tijuana to do some missionary work. With a group called Friends of the Poor that is involved with a nunnery down there. And so we were welcomed by the nuns, and they must have said at least 8 times, "Oh, come in and refresh yourself," which meant, you know, sit down, come out of the heat, sit down and have a glass of lemonade or whatever they served us. So, but there was this idea of refresh yourself. They kept saying refresh yourself. So when you lay here, refresh yourself. You're resting. Refresh yourself. It's a lovely phrase. Our tension dropped down remarkably just with them saying, "Oh, sit, come into our home and refresh yourself." Come back onto that same side, that left side. Organize yourself comfortably. We're going to now stack again the legs a little bit, palm to palm. Now going to take the right arm with your eyes open, and you're going to look at the movement of letting it go just to the ceiling and then back down, escorting it with your eyes and letting your chest move. If your chest had an eye too, it would be seeking to look at the fingertips. So you go towards the ceiling. If you can get all the way to the ceiling, fine. If you can't, that's okay too. And then as you come back and you have palm to palm again, that's a moment of pausing, relaxation, refresh yourself, okay? So it's not just blind repetition. You want to shut down all the muscles, all the tension, and then begin again so that each movement is in and of itself a learning opportunity. Feeling more deeply each time the organization of this. How is your back? You have your knees where you want them to be to help your back. Could everyone put their knees either a little closer to the chest or a little further from their chest? Make a different position for your knees and compare how it feels with your new position. It's either going to be better or it's not going to be better. So if it's better, continue. If it's not better, the next time you go down, you shift your knees again until you find, oh, when they're there, that's better. That's how we learn. Trial and error. Gentle with yourself. And what constitutes better? You know, what does that mean? But it means something to everybody. Breathing calmly, taking care of yourself, feeling. The next time your hands are palm to palm, just simply bend your elbows in and rest on your side. Notice your breathing on your side. Where does the air go easily when you're on this side? If it were liquid, it would spill into a certain area quite easily. Where? And allow that. Take the path of least resistance. Good. Okay, extend your hands palm to palm again. This time we're going to go a little bit past the ceiling in increments, noticing when your knee will be compelled to lift. So it may take you 5-6 times to go, okay, that's where I really need to lift my knee. Maybe 8 times, 10 times, I don't know. Don't do it all at once. Just explore it. It's almost like eating good chocolate. You kind of nibble a little bit at a time. You milk it out. Now y'all know what to get me for my birthday. And of course, when you really do get to that place where you're like, that arm can't move any further unless I move the knee, then feel free to let the knee lift and the foot to stand, and that'll let your arm go all the way onto the ground. And then just extend your leg and lay on the back. Now, you may not be at that place yet. I'm not rushing you. Take your time. So eventually everybody will be laying on their back, their arms out, like as a cross, with the arms out at shoulder height and your legs long. And that'll be your resting position. The only thing with that is keep your eyes to the hand. And then that will help. Yeah, but you could. It's a good question she asks. I'll look at this question for you. Yeah. Go ahead and rest on your back. Because she had the same question. Everybody rest for a moment. How is it to rest with your arms out? Open in the chest. If I were teaching a Nia class, which is my other role, it would say, how does the heart feel? You know, what are you from your heart in this gesture? Who are you from your heart when your arms are open? Okay. Could you roll to your side and now we're going to look at Lavinia over here. No, I'm goofing with names. Okay, come gather around for a moment because there were two people that had this question. Can you go on to your left side again? So the question she has, I'm going to answer in very biomechanical terms. But the question is, as she puts her arm, she opens it, opens it, opens it. She says, I can do the whole thing to the floor. I don't have to lift my knee. I can do the whole thing from the floor. And I said, well, yeah, some people can, right? So, come back. It's possible to do the whole thing through maximizing spinal rotation, right? We have spinal rotation. We have very little of it. 5 degrees in the lumbar. 1 degree each. Very little. But the dorsal vertebrae each have rotation and the neck has a ton of rotation, right? But if I say to Liat, I'm going to take your pelvis and I'm going to make it stay in this plane, can you get your shoulders in a 90 degree opposite plane? It's possible. That's maximizing optimal rotation. She's not going to do it all the way. She won't get all the way to the floor, I think. Yeah? You feel? Now your knee would have to lift. And then you lift your knee and then you're going down. Right? So that tells her, if you're demanding like that, one can test with each one of you how much spinal rotation you have, and we could make like a little measurement. Oh, she's 5 inches off the ground. Oh, she's 2 feet off the ground. You know, what is that measurement? Tells me roughly how much spinal rotation she's optimizing.
The trick is there are a couple things to pay attention to. One, if the knee is coming off, but you also feel the top of the SIS and whether that's...
Right. So, but with us, we want that to move. So, go ahead. The next sequence is, go ahead, go down, down, down. So, she waits. It's going to slide. Most of us don't... I don't want you to hold like I did with her. Right? But it slides, right? And then she goes here, right? And this is our next sequence. So that the knee has lifted, the foot is standing. Now she's playing possum with her. This is what we're going to do next, right? And she's doing something very... Basically, she's moving the pelvis back into that vertical plane, and there her arm is lifted, and then she's popping the knee up, that moves the pelvis back to the floor. That's what that powerful movement is doing, which is different than just closing the knee, because that doesn't necessarily do that, right? We want that hip lined up so that this is perpendicular to the floor. I don't know if you guys listening to this on tape are getting what I'm saying, but go do a class. It's so much nicer too. So just skip that, mellow out if you don't understand. I'm talking to the people on computer. If you don't understand what I just said, but just keep doing the movement. You'll get it anyway. Let's go on to the left side again. And we're going to play with the moment where you have to lift the knee and then the arm goes back down to the floor. So that your left arm, your right arm will be all the way to the floor. You'll follow it with your eyes. And then eventually your knee will lift, your right foot will stand, your right knee will be up towards the ceiling. Yeah, make that foot be on the floor. And then you're paused. Now, everything is quiet with the arm, and you take that right knee and you thrust it forward till it goes onto the left knee, and that will cantilever or lever up the arm. But the arm stays quiet, the arm stays quiet, the arm stays quiet. There you go. You just do it all from here. Let the arm hang. There you go. Hang it. Good. Now open your knee again. And it'll go all the way down to the floor. Right? So you play like a little seesaw. Just hang, because that's going to give you differentiation in the rib cage and in that thoracic spine, as long as your low back's fine with it.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Is that making sense? Yeah. Yeah, even that, it's a stretch, isn't it? Isn't it lovely? You're working on your thoracic rotation. Is your low back okay with that? If you thrust your belly forwards and you arch your low back a little bit, your low back typically will be fine with this. In fact, it's a strengthening exercise for people that have low back issues. Good. Lovely. And then after it cantilevers up a little bit, let it go all the way over. Kick in with the arm. Arc the arm all the way over. And we're going to join the whole kit and caboodle into a rolling movement. Okay? So lay on your left side, which you already are. So I call this 4-point roll. Start with the right arm. Keep going. Right arm up to the ceiling. Follow it with your eyes. Continue. And eventually the right knee picks up. And the right arm will be all the way onto the floor. The right foot will be standing. The right knee will be up. Can you please continue with the right knee? Keep the right knee moving to the right so your knees are wide apart, your legs are spread. Then eventually the left knee will want to pick up. And let the left knee pick up. And then you're in that little cantilever idea and you're going to play possum with the left arm until you kick in and it lifts. And then kick in with the left arm and go all the way over and you're on your other side. Got it? And then sometimes you have to kind of get yourself, you know, stacked up again when you're on your side. But it's a way of going from one side to the other in a 4-point way. Meaning one arm, as long as it can go. One leg, as long as it can go. The other leg, as long as it can go. And then finally, the fourth arm. That's why I call it 4 points, like the 1-2-3-4 idea. That's it. Arcing up and over. So it's a way of rolling in a domino twisted idea. The next portion goes only when it's compelled to go. Once you have it kind of organized, you can be a little sloppy about it. Kind of like Saturday morning, lazy, sloppy. Just roll yourself one side. Just have fun with it. There's a moment where your knees are spread and your legs are spread. Don't bypass that moment. Don't keep the knees chained together. There's a moment where they're spread, open. There's a moment where the legs are open. They're not open there. Get that moment where the legs open. Don't bypass that. There's a moment where this one hangs and the other one opens in relation. Open. And then this one comes. There you go. So there's a moment where it's open, like a butterfly. Between the knees gets open. Yeah. Good. Next time you're on your back, just give it up. Rest. Feel if you're changed. How? What? Open in the ribcage, maybe, someone says. Anyone else want to say, what's different? How are you changed? What do you feel? Doesn't have to make logical sense. Can you articulate it, or maybe you can't? What do you feel? Yeah? Anything? So someone's going...
Brain lighting up
is happening. What do you feel? Her back is more flat. Yeah, and you, what do you feel? What do you feel? Feels good. A good sense. Feels good. It's good enough. What do you feel?
Totally relaxed.
Totally relaxed. And you? Feel the scapula open. Sternum, chest, shoulder blades more open. Okay. All really improvement things that you're feeling. So bravo. Means you used yourself well. Okay, we're going to end the lesson there, but go ahead and bring yourself up to standing and continue to feel the changes even in standing. Thank you.